1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, we have discovered, as many of you know by now, a series of exhortations at the end of this book. Bring it to a close where Paul closes out with these final comments. And obviously, as you know, these series of exhortations are for the purpose of urging and compelling these believers to continue to go and continue to grow. They were a growing church. And they were reaching out with the Word of God, sounding the Word out into every place, so that Paul even called them in chapter number 1 an example for all the other churches in Macedonia and Achaia. They loved each other. The Bible talks about it in chapter 3 and verse 12 and chapter 4 verses 9 and 10, that they loved each other with godly love. And they were walking with God. The Bible says in chapter 4 and verse number 1 that they were walking with God in such a way that it brought pleasure to God. And Paul's desire for them is that they would abound more and more. That is, in reaching out with the gospel. That is, in their love for one another, chapter 3 and verse 12. And that is, in their walk with God, chapter 4 and verse number 1, that they would abound, that they would continue to grow in all of these areas of their life, and that they wouldn't slow down, that they wouldn't back up, but they would keep going and keep growing. So he writes, it looks like that one of the reasons why he writes this letter is to help them to be able to continue doing that, so they don't slow down at all. I believe that's the Holy Spirit's desire for us. And that is that you and I would grow, those of us who are believers who receive Christ, that we would grow and that we would continue to go, continue serving one another, and continue reaching out to those who are unsaved. God wants us to keep going and God wants us to keep growing. He doesn't want us to slow down. He doesn't want us to back up. He doesn't want us to hesitate, but God wants for us to keep going. He doesn't want us to become a sideline Christian. That is, a Christian who's just sitting on the sidelines, who's no longer going, like a car with a flat tire, a car that's ran out of gas, sitting along the sideline. God wants to make sure that your spiritual tank stays full so that you can continue to go and not stop and not slow down. And one of the ways that you and I continue to fill our spiritual tank so that we can keep growing is exactly what we're reading in these exhortations at the end of this book. And one of them, as you already know, in verse number 20, is not to despise prophesying. Despise not prophesying. And that is when the Word of God, when the revelation of God is being proclaimed, you and I are hearing prophesying, and as a result of that, we need to take that serious, and we need to hear that not as something common, but as something very special and worthy of our attention. Don't despise prophesying. And then we discovered this little phrase in verse 21, where the Bible says that we need to prove all things. And the idea, again, just to remind you, of proving all things is the idea of examining or testing everything. And we understand the principle of that. And the reason why is because that's what we do in a lot of areas of our life. And that is that we examine things, we test things to find out whether or not they're the right thing for us. Whether it be the glasses on your face or the shoes on your feet, from your eyes to your toes, you and I try to examine things to make sure that they are the right fit for us. We know about this principle, but we know that Paul wasn't talking about, he wasn't writing about glasses and shoes, and what he was writing about are things more important than that. And when you examine his letters and examine the rest of the Word of God, we've discovered some things that are priorities when it comes to examining all things. And I preach to you about them, whether it be the teaching that we hear, or whether it be the spirits that we encounter, or whether it be the salvation that we profess. It may be the focus that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many things that you and I need to examine that are really, really important in our life, that we need to take a look at and make sure that we've achieved what was right and have stayed away from that which is wrong. We need to prioritize those things that are really important. There's some things more important than having the right pair of shoes or wearing the right glasses. Some things that we need to examine, some things that we need to prove, or some things that we need to attest. And God has given us a process for doing that. And we've discovered what that process is, whether it be examining or searching the Scriptures, or whether it be listening to the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us, whether it be really connecting with the saints that we love who can help us to be able to prove all things, to discern right from wrong, good from bad. Maybe the separation that God has called us to, setting ourselves apart to Him, our body and our mind, so that you and I can know, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's just so many things that you and I need to examine, and God has given us a process for doing that. So we began looking then at the purpose or the reason why we need to be doing this. Why is it that Paul is writing to these Thessalonians and telling them to prove all things? And what we discovered is that the two phrases following this statement give us some indication as to why it is we need to examine all things. And that is, he tells us in verse 21, hold fast that which is good. And then in verse number 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Let me remind you that the reason why we need to examine all of these areas of our life is so that we can tell the difference between what is good and what is evil. Good and evil. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, there has been good and evil. Prior to that, just good, but now good and evil. And you need to know the difference between the two. One of the things that Isaiah does in Isaiah 5, in his prophecy, he condemns those who call evil good and good evil. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that that is not just characteristic of Isaiah's day, of a people that were nearing the judgment of God upon them as a nation, but it's also characteristic of the society that you and I live in as well. You live in a world, we live in a society, ladies and gentlemen, that applauds that which God says is evil, and ladies and gentlemen, despises what God says is good. Now you need to know the difference, and you're not going to learn it very much in the world around you. Many of you may not have learned it from the parents who raised you. And so we need to find out what is the difference. What does God say is good and evil? We need to prove all things so that we can know the difference. Examine everything. Is this good or is it evil? Now, if it's good, the Bible says to hold fast to it in verse number 21. That is, if it's good, if you examine it, you prove it, and you find out that it is what God calls good, and you and I went through the scriptures and we discovered in the Bible what God says is good. If it's good, then get your hand on it and hold on to it and don't let it go. Listen, what you have in your hand is what is front and central into your life. And so if it's good, make it central to your life and hold on to it and keep it right there, central, first place in your life, that which is good. But ladies and gentlemen, if you examine it and you find out that something is evil, the Bible tells us what to do with that as well. In verse 22, it says to abstain from all appearance, that is everything that in its very form is evil. If it is in its very form evil, then stay away from it or abstain from it. That is, hold to that which is good and get away from that which is evil. Now listen, if you don't do that, then one of these days you're going to find yourself being a sideline Christian. That is, just like we discovered this morning in 1 Corinthians 10. That is, if you don't escape, if you don't take the way of escape in the time of temptation, the temptation to evil, if you don't take the way of escape and get away from it, then listen to me now, you're going to find yourself like the Israelites who lusted after evil things. You're going to find yourself to be a castaway, that is somebody who has been disqualified and is sitting on the sideline just like they were. That is, just like that generation of Israelites who were brought out of Egyptian bondage, found themselves wandering in the wilderness instead of winning the victory in the land of Canaan. They were wandering in the wilderness and until that entire generation died off. Now listen, that's not where you want to be. That is, listen to me now, you wouldn't be here tonight if that was your desire. And that is, your desire is not to be wandering in the wilderness, just wandering around for the rest of your life and not achieving God's purpose for your life, not running the race that God has set before you, not winning the fights that God has placed you in, the battles that He's placed you in. But God's will and God's purpose is for you to be running the race. It is to be fighting the battle, not wandering in the wilderness. This, in God's purpose, is for you and I to be marching around Jericho until the walls come tumbling down. Not wandering around in the wilderness, not circling the wilderness, but circling the walls until they come down. That's God's purpose for us. But listen to me now, if you don't stay away from evil, if you don't abstain from all appearance of evil, if you start lusting after evil things, then you'll find yourself not marching around the walls, but you'll find yourself wandering in a wilderness that is not going forward for God, sidelined as a Christian, not being used of God like God wants to use you. So we need to find out. That is, take a little bit of time this evening just to find out what is this evil that you and I need to abstain from. In other words, what I mean is we need to find out what the Bible reveals to us are the different kinds of evil. Now, I don't have time, obviously, to expose everything that is evil. That would take a lot of time, and you might get your feelings hurt by the time I got done. And I don't have time to expose everything that is evil. And the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is because there is so much that is evil. And by the way, the means for doing evil continues to grow. We are told in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 30 that sinful fallen men are inventors of evil things. I'll say that again, Romans 1:30, that we are inventors of evil things. That is, that we just keep on inventing more ways to do evil. That's characteristic of fallen humanity. And that is that we find more ways to do more evil. Inventors of evil things. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that the avenue or the means to express evil continues to expand. And it continues to grow. But listen, while we don't have time to expose everything that has the appearance or the form of evil, there are particular kinds of evil or categories of evil that I'd like for you to look at with me that's revealed in the Bible. Some particular areas in which we experience or are tempted in the area of evil. What does the Bible call evil that you and I need to abstain from or escape from or get away from? What are those areas of evil? Let me just mention a few of them. One of the areas, and probably one of them that Paul had in mind at the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, are evil teachers. Evil teachers. The Bible exposes evil teachers. For example, our Lord did in the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to listen to what Jesus said when he was preaching in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 and verse number 15. The Bible says to beware of false prophets. Jesus said you need to be aware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. That is, they get among the flock, that is God's people, God's sheep, and they look like God's sheep. They're dressed like God's sheep. They are trying to act like God's sheep. But these false prophets, the Bible says, on the inside are ravening wolves. They are enemies of God's people. They try to blend in with God's people, but they're really enemies of God's people. And he says, you'll know them by their fruit. That is what they produce. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Well, the answer would be no. And even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree, ladies and gentlemen, a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. All it's good for is burning. So he said, by their fruits, you'll know them. In other words, here's what the Lord is warning about. He's warning against false prophets. And he's telling the crowd that's listening to him, and by the way, he has some particular people in mind. It may well be that he has some of the Jewish leaders in mind, and the reason why is because of the fact that they were speaking about things falsely so. And that is that they were corrupt in their teaching. As a matter of fact, while they appeared to be the people of God on the outside, Jesus said that's not what they are on the inside. They're the enemies of the people of God. In another place, Jesus told the Jewish leaders that they're like a tomb. That is, like a tomb that is whited on the outside, beautiful on the outside, but full of dead men's bones on the inside. And Jesus said, here's how you can know a false prophet, and that is, just look at what they're producing. Look at the fruit that they are producing. Look at what it is that's coming out of them. That is, don't look at the appearance on the outside, but look at what is being produced from the inside. He said it's kind of like a tree, and that is, a tree is going to produce a certain kind of fruit. And that is, a good tree is going to produce good fruit, but he said a corrupt tree is going to produce evil fruit. And he said, look at their fruit, and you can tell whether or not they're a good prophet or a false prophet. And if they're producing evil fruit, ladies and gentlemen, then mark it down, that is a false prophet. You know what Jesus is exposing? He's exposing the evil that comes from false teachers. False teachers are evil. Listen, those who say that they're teaching God's Word, but they're not teaching God's Word at all, but they're teaching that which is contrary to divine truth, I want you to know, listen to me now, they're not good. That's evil. Evil teaching. Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter chapter number 2. Listen to what he wrote. In 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1, Peter wrote, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Just like there were false prophets among the Israelites in the Old Testament, there will be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Listen to this next phrase. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know what false teachers do? That is, Peter's telling us here that they lead people astray and that they speak evil of the right way. They speak evil of the way of truth. That's right. And we know he's talking about Jesus there, isn't he? And the revelation that has come to us through the Son of God, that is Christ and his apostles. And that is it, they're those who speak of the way of truth as being evil. You know what these are? These are false teachers. This may be what Paul has in mind here in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 22, when he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And that is, if something has the form of evil, if there are false teachers, ladies and gentlemen, evil teachers, then you need to stay away from them. Stay away from them. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6, that's what Paul admonishes Timothy to teach the folks in Ephesus to do. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 3, here's what he said. If any man teach otherwise, that is other than what's been revealed by the Lord Jesus and his apostles, if any teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. If they don't submit to that, then he says he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And listen to what Paul says to them. From such, withdraw thyself. In other words, when it comes to evil teachers, those who, ladies and gentlemen, are not teaching what Jesus said and what the doctrine of the teaching of the apostles, if they're not teaching what the Bible reveals, the word that Christ brought, the revelation that he brought to us and also given to us through his apostles and prophets, listen, if it doesn't line up with that, then the Bible says here that you and I should withdraw ourselves from them, that we should abstain from that appearance of evil. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 20, listen to what Paul wrote at the close of this letter to Timothy. He said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, that's the gospel, protect it, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. That is, he tells him here that there are those who have gone astray from the faith, have gone away from the faith. And he tells him to avoid them. Avoid all of that. Stay away from that. Timothy, stay away from those who are evil teachers. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe when the Bible tells us here to abstain from all appearance of evil, that is one broad category of evil that it is speaking about. That is evil teachers. Now, you know this already, don't you? And that is that you and I are living in a culture and in a time where there are many evil teachers. There are many. There are many that represent large, major religious groups. There are others that represent small individual cults and groups and movements. There are those who've manned the pulpits and the teaching Bible studies in churches that, ladies and gentlemen, are not teaching what the Bible says. In major churches, in mainline churches, in churches that are popular with the world. But listen to me now. And by the way, when it comes to evil teachers, just remember this. And that is that you not only measure that by what it is that is said, but you also have to measure it by what is not being taught. What is not being said. And our culture is littered with evil teachers. So you need to beware. You need to be proving all things. You say, how am I going to know? That's why the Bible says prove all things, so you can know those that are teaching what is good. And if they're teaching what is good, grab a hold of it, hold fast to it. But if they're teaching that which is evil, then abstain from it, get away from it, avoid it, escape from it, the Bible tells us. So they are, first of all, evil teachers. Another area, a broad category of evil that you and I need to abstain from are evil spirits. Evil spirits. Ladies and gentlemen, you know this already, but you and I are living in a society and in a world in which there are evil spirits, demonic spirits that are real and actively at work. And those demonic spirits, ladies and gentlemen, have a means of trying to indoctrinate individuals. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, a passage of scripture that we looked at in detail in a past sermon. Where the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do you see it there? That's right, there are devils and demons that are operating, and they are teaching, they are seducing spirits, and they are teaching demons. And listen to me now, there are those who've departed from the faith because they have been lured by those demons, by those seducing spirits, the Bible tells us here. Here's what I want you to know, that there are evil spirits that are present in the world today. Many of them are very religious, and they're operating within the realm of religion, and there are many of them that are operating in the realm of society, that is, in the secular society around us. Many of them, ladies and gentlemen, are operating in false teaching that is deceptive, it is dark, it is destructive, it is full of death. And it's the enemy, that is, the devil and his demons. You and I are in the middle of a real spiritual battle. The battle that we are in is a real spiritual battle, ladies and gentlemen, between divine revelation, God's truth, and the dark teachings of demonic spirits that have rooted themselves down on the inside of the hearts of individuals that are now full of destruction and death. Ephesians chapter number 6, let me remind you of these verses. The Bible says in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are dealing with real spiritual warfare. That's why you've got to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. That's why you've got to put on the whole armor of God that you can stand in this evil day against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. There are evil spirits whose purpose is deception and destruction. And listen to me now, you've got to avoid those traps. You got to stay away, avoid that form of evil or that appearance of evil. That is, those evil spirits that are operating. Listen to me now, the devil and his demons have laid traps for all of us that are in this room. And that includes you. The devil is trying to lay a trap for you. He wants to destroy you. He wants you to die prematurely. He wants to do everything he can to destroy you. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your mind. He wants to destroy your thought life. He wants to destroy your body. He's doing everything he can to do that, ladies and gentlemen. And you need to know, you need to be able to prove all things to know when you're dealing with an evil spirit and doctrines of demons and deceptive spirits so that you can get away from that, abstain from that, so that you can escape from that. When the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil, then you need to remember the warning that we're warned about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. You remember these words, don't you? Where the Bible says to be vigilant, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The devil is like a roaring lion that is out to destroy every person that he can, especially those who know the Lord. He's after you. There are people there. Listen, we've got brethren in the world today that are under the gun, under attack by the lion. And for that reason, you need to be sober and vigilant. Because he's walking around trying to find anyone that he can destroy. Any open door where he can get in and build a stronghold in your life. That's what he's after. So when the Bible says we need to abstain from all appearance of evil, it must be talking about evil teachers. And it must be talking about evil spirits. But do you know the Bible also refers to evil hearts? Evil hearts. Now the Lord seemed to be referring to the hearts of evil men in Matthew chapter number 12. Listen to the words that He spoke. In Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 34, the Bible says that Jesus described the people in His day. He said, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, you, generation of vipers, the descendants of the snake," referring back to the garden, talking about the Jewish leaders, He said, "how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the man speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things." But listen to this. "An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Jesus said to these Jewish leaders that there are those who are evil and who have evil treasured up in their hearts. And that evil treasure in their hearts will manifest itself. And one of the areas, that one of the ways that the evil treasured in the heart manifests itself is in the words that we speak. In Matthew chapter 15, verse number 19, a similar statement from our Lord. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." Murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. Where's all that come from? Where do the evil thoughts come from? From an evil heart, the Bible tells us here. An evil heart. In Mark chapter number 7, we find our Lord making a similar statement in verse number 21. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within, from the inside, and defile the man. In other words, our Lord is saying it's not what you do on the outside, it's not what you take into your body that defiles you, what you eat, but it's what's on the inside that manifests itself through you that's evil. That evil resides on the inside in our hearts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, all of us are fallen, sinful creatures, and therefore all of us have evil hearts. You say, "Pastor, I just believe that some folks have good hearts." Listen to me now. Everybody that's born into this world is born as a fallen creature. And we all have evil hearts. The sweetest ones among us, which are right here towards my right, have evil hearts. Amen. They sure do. All you got to do is ask their mom and their dad. There's evil residing on the inside of them. Do you know that they're so evil that they will take toys away from each other? Now, if they wasn't evil, they would give up their toy. But oh, listen to me now. They'll take toys away from each other. They'll aggravate each other. They'll hit each other. Yeah. You say, "Pastor, your grandkids?" I'm talking about my grandkids. And I'm talking about yours, if you're a grandparent. And listen to me now. I'm talking to your grandparents, even though they might be gone, about you right now. That is, we have evil hearts as sinners. But listen, when you got saved, God did something on the inside of you. At the moment of your conversion, they gave you a new heart. And the reason why you have a new heart is because the Holy Spirit is now living on the inside of you. Listen to what Ezekiel prophesied about the new covenant in Ezekiel chapter number 36 and verse number 25. He said, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away that stony, that hard heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh," or a soft heart. "I put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them." The Bible is talking here about a time whenever all of the redeemed will have new hearts, brand new hearts. And that is that old evil heart, no longer in control. But now we have, ladies and gentlemen, now we have a heart that loves God, a heart that's been cleansed of sin. We've got a brand new heart. Now listen to me. Now those of you that have a new heart, you remember that day that God gave it to you. Amen. God gave you a heart transplant. It's the heart that is invisible to the eye. That is, God changed you on the inside. And although you haven't, listen, although you have not achieved perfection, you've been going in a brand new direction ever since then. Amen. Because God changed you on the inside and gave you a brand new heart. He changed that evil heart, cleansed you on the inside. Now those who have that new heart, the Bible tells us that we should avoid everything that is characteristic of the old evil heart. Everything that is connected to the old evil heart that characterized your life before you got saved and before God gave you a new heart, that you should avoid everything that is characteristic of the old evil heart that you had before you got saved. Now, you know what that is. I don't have to get into the details. You know what it is. You know what your heart was like before God saved you. Oh yeah. You know the evil that your old heart loved. You know what it was. And so the Bible is telling us, listen to me now, everything connected to the old evil heart, we need to stay away from, that we need to abstain from. In Acts 15, the early New Testament church got together. And the reason why they got together and had this big conference, all the church leaders in Jerusalem were there, is because Gentiles were now getting saved and not just Jews. And they were trying to figure out how that affected the New Testament church. How they were to process that. This new work of God with Gentiles being saved. And so they have this big church conference in Acts chapter number 15. And when they get done with the conference, that is, after all of them have gotten together, no doubt they were praying together. We know that there were speeches because we read some of them in Acts chapter number 15. But when you get down to the end of that conference, they came to a conclusion. And the Bible says here in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 20 that they wrote a letter that was to be sent to all the Gentile churches, and there were also Jews and Gentiles in the same churches in certain areas. And so they wrote a letter, such as the church at Antioch where Paul and Barnabas had been ministering out of on the first missionary journey. They write this letter, and here's what they wrote unto them in verse number 20, that they abstain from pollution of idols. You see, idolatry was what their life was like before they met Jesus. That was what was characteristic of their old evil hearts. And so the Bible says that they wrote the letter and they told the Gentiles that they stay away from anything that was polluted by idolatry. Not only that, but they told them also in verse number 20 that they need to stay away from fornication. Abstain from idolatry and abstain from fornication. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that's what their old evil heart was involved in before they got saved. They were involved in all kinds of fornication that was connected to the idolatry in those pagan cities. Pagan idolatry and fornication went together hand in hand. So they need to avoid them. That is, they need to avoid idolatry. They need to avoid immorality. Stay away from that. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11 that those who are God's children, who are strangers and pilgrims in this world, that we need to abstain from lust. That is, evil desires or evil lust on the inside of us that characterize our old heart, that we need to abstain from that. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. And that is that before you got saved, you were harboring evil desires and evil lust on the inside of you. And listen, when God saved you and gave you a brand new heart and cleansed you of all that sin and delivered you from it, but every once in a while that old evil lust tries to stick its head back up. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:11 that that's something you need to stay away from. That old evil, listen, those things that characterize that old evil heart. When the Bible says that we need to abstain from all appearance of evil, that means that we need to stay away from, abstain from evil teachers, evil spirits, and our old evil hearts. I believe it also must include evil words. The Bible reveals to you and I that there are those who speak evil words. Jesus wrote, he spoke about it in his Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 11, the Bible says this. It said, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He's talking about those who say evil things. And the evil things that's being referred to here are false accusations against the followers of Jesus. There are those who speak evil. They say evil words, ladies and gentlemen. James wrote about it in James chapter number 3 when he wrote about the problem with the tongue. That is what we say. In James chapter number 3 and verse number 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Listen to this. It, the tongue, is an unruly evil full of dead poison. You know what the Bible is telling us there? And that is the tongue. What it is that we say, ladies and gentlemen, can be an instrument of evil. It's talking about evil words that roll off of our tongues. Evil things that you and I say. Now listen to me now. If you're going to be able to go and grow and keep on going for God, one of the things you need to abstain from is evil speaking. That is allowing evil to roll off of your tongue. You say, Pastor, sometimes it just slips out. Listen to me now. I know where it came from. The evil things that you and I say proceed from a corrupt, evil heart. And so if evil just kind of slips up on you and gets out of your mouth before you can reel it back in, the reason why is because something is not quite right on the inside of you. There needs to be some refreshing in your heart, some cleansing in your soul. God needs to do a work on the inside of us so that what's coming out of our mouth proceeds from a heart or a soul that is clean before God and walking with God. Evil words, abstain, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, it may not be the evil words that are rolling off of your tongue, but you might be hanging around folks that are speaking evil things. That is, you might be hanging around some friends that got evil on their tongue. And the reason why they got evil on their tongue is because they got evil in their hearts. And you're hanging around with that crowd, listening to that crowd, going along with that crowd. I'm going to say to you that, listen to me now, if you don't get away from that crowd, it'll lead to destruction. And you'll find yourself on the sideline, a sideline Christian, because you've been hanging around with instead of abstaining from those who have evil words. That's right. When Peter was writing in 1 Peter chapter 2, he wrote these words, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, laying aside all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." You want to grow and keep on growing? Then there's some things you need to get rid of. And one of them is evil speaking. If you want to grow and go, evil words have to go. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 31, here's what it said. Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Get away from it. Avoid it in your own life. Abstain from it in your own life. And get away from it when it's coming out of somebody else's life. Don't hang around with those who are evil speaking. They have evil hearts, and they'll lead you in the wrong direction. Get away from that crowd. Be a witness, be a testimony, speak for the glory of God, but don't blend into that crowd. Otherwise, you'll find yourself sidelined one day. If we're going to abstain from all appearance of evil, what does the Bible call evil? Well, the Bible exposes evil teachers, evil spirits, evil hearts, evil words, and ladies and gentlemen, evil works. Evil works. That is, being involved in evil activity or evil deeds. Jesus spoke about this in John chapter number 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verse number 19, he said this. This is the condemnation. This is what condemns somebody. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. What is evil? Their deeds, their activities, their works are indeed evil. The Bible exposes it. Jesus did in John chapter number 7 and verse number 7. In John chapter number 7 and verse number 7, the Bible exposes the evil deeds. It said, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testified of it that the works thereof are evil." Evil works, Jesus talked about. He said, the reason why the world hates me so much, the reason why the Jewish leaders hate him so much, is because he exposed their evil works. That's why. By the way, later on, he also said that they'll, if they've hated me, they're going to hate you as well. If you allow God to use you to expose that which is evil. So according to what Jesus said in John 3 and John 7, the world is characterized by evil, sinful works or evil, sinful activities. But listen to me now, you shouldn't be participating. Folks that are involved in sinful works, you need to abstain from that. If you don't stay away from evil works, you'll find yourself a sideline Christian. You won't be growing and you won't be going. Stay away from it. Get away from it. If it's evil, don't hang around it. It's going to lead you in the wrong direction. It's going to lead you down the wrong road. The Bible says instead of participating with those that are involved in evil, dark works, that you and I should be instead be reproving them. That is, we ought to be encouraging them to come out of that darkness and out of that evil, not participating with them. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, that we should have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Listen, you're not in the darkness, but in the light. So walk as children of light. Not in darkness. No, reprove those who are in darkness. The idea is not participating in evil works. Listen to me now. Examine everything. And if what people are participating in and doing, your friends, the ones you work with, the ones you hang around with, the ones that call you their friend, I'll tell you that if they encourage you to do evil, they are not your friend. We'll say it again. Those who say that they are your friend and you're their friend, if they are encouraging you to do evil things, they are not your friend. They're not. And you should stay away from that crowd. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's got to be meaning evil teachers, evil spirits, evil hearts, evil words, evil works, and then finally and lastly, evil roots. Evil roots. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm talking about what Paul wrote to Timothy about in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Listen to what he wrote. 1 Timothy 6, verse number 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you want to be gain, if you want to be prosperous, then listen to me now. Then what you need to do is you need to be godly and you need to be content with what you have. The reason why is because he tells us in verse number 7 that we didn't bring anything into this world and you didn't. I want to remind you, and some of you here Wednesday night when I touched on this verse. When you came into this world, you came with nothing. You didn't have any money. You didn't have any clothes. You didn't have any teeth. Nothing. When you came into this world. And by the way, it's certain that you're going to leave the same way. You're going to leave with nothing. You say, well, when they bury me, I'll have my clothes on. But you know where your clothes will be? They'll still be in that casket when you're gone. You're leaving with nothing. Your clothes are going to be left behind. Your money's going to be left behind. Everything you have. So you come with nothing and you leave with nothing. So if you have anything in between your coming and your going, you had more than you started with and you had more than you're going to end with. And so you ought to be tickled to death with what you have. I see that all of you have clothes to wear. And it's obvious to me that you've had a little bit of food to eat. So you should be as content as anyone. You should be as happy as you could be with what you have, the Bible says. But not everybody is. There are those who are not content. But they want more. They want more. They want more. And the Bible says in verse number 9 that those who will be rich, they fall into temptation, to a snare, a trap, into many foolish and hurtful lusts or desires, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Are you ready? For the love of money, that is greed and covetousness, is the root of all evil. Evil roots. Listen to me now. Evil roots itself down into our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the primary ways that evil roots itself down into our lives is through covetousness and greed. Desiring to have more than it's the will of God for us to have. Now, if the will of God is for you to be wealthy, then you should use your wealth for the glory of God. But the desire to have more than is the will of God for you to have is greed and covetousness. And listen, when greed and covetousness gets a hold of your heart, it's like an evil root on the inside of you, out of which all kinds of things grow, out of that root. All kinds of evil things spring up from the root of covetousness. And all of those things that spring up from the root of covetousness, are for the purpose of piercing you through with sorrow and leading you to destruction, according to these verses. And so here's what the Bible is saying. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, everything that has the appearance of evil, including this evil root called covetousness, you need to abstain from it. Get away from it. Escape from it. Don't let covetousness root down on the inside of you and bring about the kind of destruction that could destroy your life. Abstain from it. Stay away from it. Listen to me. Covetousness will destroy your effectiveness for God. And you'll find yourself sitting on the sideline instead of being on the front line if it gets a hold of you. One of the plagues and problems that Christians have today that has caused our churches to become anemic is covetousness in the soul, rooted down on the inside of us. So that we're more concerned about what material things we can buy than having the power of God upon our life and the life of our church. We're more concerned about the national debt than we are spiritual awakening in our country. We're a covetous bunch of people, more worried about what the next generation may miss out on. Those who are concerned about the next generation, most of them are just concerned that they won't have the money and prosperity that we've experienced. That's about it. What we should be concerned about, ladies and gentlemen, are those who aren't hearing the gospel, aren't responding to the gospel, aren't listening to the Holy Spirit, aren't even concerned enough to want to find out what the gospel is. Here's what I'm trying to say. Covetousness is destroying our lives. It's destroying our church. And listen to me now. It's going to bring our nation into great decline. Covetousness and greed. Out of that root, that evil root, grows all kinds of problems. And we, as a culture, are about to reap what has grown out of this covetousness. We're about to reap it. Listen to me. The Bible says here, stay away from that. Abstain from everything that has in its form, its evil, the appearance of evil. You want to grow? You want to go? Get away from it. Everything that is evil. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and your people, what you're trying to reveal to us. God, I pray that you do an operation on the inside of us that would help us to recognize the evil that's all around us. God, there are those, Father, who are in this room and others who may be listening by other means that are about ready to step into an evil trap designed by the enemy. Father, I pray that you'd let them see it now. Show it to them so that they can get away from it, escape from it, abstain from it. Father, would you? Father, thank you for this time that we've had just to examine your book. Would you bless, Father, this time of decision, a time, Lord, of thinking about how we apply this to our life. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. In just a moment.